The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Dr. Tim Muehlhoff. Tim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back on.
That's absolutely our pleasure. Hey, before we jump into your book and all the other things that you're doing, why don't you just introduce yourself so our audience can get to know you a little bit?
Well, I'm a professor of communication at Biola University in La Mirada, California. I teach classes on conflict resolution, gender, family communication, apologetics, but I'm also the co-director of the Winsome Conviction Project, which seeks to reintroduce civility back into our disagreements, both between Christians and Christians and non-Christians. And so we've been around for 2 years. It's a 5-year project. And you can check out our podcast, Winsome Conviction Podcast, where we try to bring on people we disagree with, but do it in a way that's civil and speak truth and love.
Oh, I just absolutely love that. That's so needed right now. That's why we exist here at The Common Good. So I can't wait to check out that podcast. And again, we're so excited about your new book, Eyes to See, Recognizing God's Common Grace in an Unsettled World. Tim, give us a big picture. What made you decide to write this book?
Well, my wife had a cancer scare that they found cancer while doing something else. And we were going to get tested to see if it had metastasized. And of course, that's a very scary day. And we were sitting in the lobby of a hospital, and she was going to go 2 floors down with a multi-million-dollar machine that was going to check every part of her body. And then we would know if cancer was in other places and we could treat it. And I took my wife's hand and said, thank God for this machine.
Yeah.
And Noreen said, yeah. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't do that enough. Like, I don't look at things and say, well, thank God for N95 masks. Thank God for neurologists who treat my migraines. I tend to over-spiritualize things and overlook God's good gifts that he gives to a fallen world to help us navigate a world that's kind of spinning out of control.
Yeah, let's continue unpacking that there, Tim. You talk about recognizing God's common grace in an unsettled world. How would you define common grace? Because it's probably something a lot of people listening don't ever really think about. It. Like you said, we kind of over-spiritualize things. So help us understand what common grace is.
Well, Psalm 145, the psalmist says, God is good to all, and he has compassion on all he has made. And that's the key part of common grace, is that God gives gifts both to Christians and non-Christians to help us navigate a world that's in turmoil and during a pandemic that's not, you know, being overly dramatic. He knows the world's going to spin out of control because we are not placing ourselves under his loving lordship. So he doesn't withhold these gifts. He says, listen, you're going to need penicillin. You're going to need medical technology. You're going to need a vision of virtuous communication because language can be used as a weapon against each other. So he floods the world with a multitude of gifts. When James says every good gift comes from the Father of lights, many commentators believe he's looking up at the starry sky and all the stars and saying these good gifts are as many as the stars that saturate the sky.
Oh, yeah, that's so beautiful. Tim, just thinking of that theme, eyes to see, how do we, I mean, I guess as both Christians and non-Christians, develop eyes that can see God's common grace?
Well, there's a ton, Aubrey, there's a ton of research that's been done on gratitude from an academic standpoint, that if you train your mind to first notice the good, not ignore the bad, that would be unhealthy, but if your mind first goes towards the good, then we know that adds to human flourishing and gives us fuller, robust lives. So eyes to see is a quote from C.S. Lewis. huge C.S. Lewis fan. Big props to him.
Nice.
Lewis says, you need to stop and recognize every good gift comes from God. And when you think about it that way, then the fact that you and I can do this right now, that we can have this conversation via technology, that when the pandemic hit higher education, we all had to shift to Zoom in a heartbeat. But think about that. We could do that. We literally could hold our classes yeah. via Zoom. And that is a good gift from God, the technology. Yeah. So the book is really created for two reasons. One, for us to develop eyes to see. But then second, how do you use the idea of common grace to have conversations with unbelieving friends, family members, coworkers as a conversation starter to get to things like the existence of God, who is Jesus? So the book is filled with references from pop culture, the history of medicine. There's some crazy stories about how penicillin was discovered totally by accident. But then in the book, I argue, well, maybe it was an accident, or could it be God prompting Alexander Fleming in 1920 to discover penicillin? And today, without penicillin, we'd be in the dark ages.
Yes.
Wow. Isn't that true? Wow.
Tim, you got me thinking about something there on that response. How is it that common grace opens the door evangelistically? Like, you know, how is it that becomes a great avenue to engage our friends and neighbors who maybe wouldn't believe in some of the more spiritual things, but instead they can see around them this common grace you're talking about? How does that serve as an evangelism tool?
Well, you know, one fun thing that came up when I was researching this, if you were to Google ancient inventions that changed history, you'd get a pretty common list. It would be the discovery of the wheel. It'd be fire. It'd be tools, you know, different things like that. So then you ask the question, what if I told you the discovery of all these tools was roughly happening at the exact same time all across the world, but there was no communication between anybody? And everybody at roughly the same time is discovering the use of fire. Now, how do you explain that? Is that, wow, that's really interesting that everybody was getting lucky at the same time and roughly discovering these things? Or could it be that there was a prompting from God to discover these things? Because, you know, you need fire both for protection and to cook food in a safe way. And God knew that and gave it to the entire world at roughly the same time.
Wow.
Then I say to my friends, now give me an explanation for that.
Right.
Like, let's kick around that. Maybe it could be evolution. Maybe it could be luck. But let me throw out a third option. And that's what I love to do to my friends, is to say, but what if this was God? Mm. And that's just an interesting conversation to have with my different friends.
That's really good. Again, the book is called Eyes to See, Recognizing God's Common Grace in an Unsettled World. Dr. Tim Uhlhoff, you're the co-director of something called the Winsome Conviction Project. Two questions. Can you remind our people, tell us what the Winsome Conviction Project is? What is it that you guys are trying to accomplish? And how does it actually tie into this new book about common grace?
Well, Brian and Aubrey, today we're in a crisis, not just a pandemic, but we're in a communication crisis. In a time in which Americans don't agree on anything, 98% of Americans agree that incivility is a major threat to this country. 65% of Americans would say we're already at crisis levels. And 45% of Americans would say, I do not feel safe sharing my opinion publicly. And that is a communication crisis that we've got to find a way of resolving. And as Christians, we are called to be peacemakers. When Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the sons of God. So we take that seriously at the Winsome Conviction Project. We're a five-year project. We just finished year two. And we're reaching out to people that we know disagree with us, but we're trying to foster a positive communication climate to talk about important issues. We're also training the church, because the church has blown up over critical race theory, over defund the police, over Black Lives Matter and mask wearing and mandates. And we've got to find a way of talking to each other. And that's what we try to do. I'm a communications professor. My co-director, Dr. Rick Langer, is a philosopher, but he also was a pastor for 20 years. So he has a lot of experience on the good and bad of church dialogue. So people can check us out at winsomeconviction.com is our website where there's a bunch of resources, and you can check out our podcast, Wisdom Conviction Podcast.
And Tim, just following up on that, this is something that Brian and I talk about a lot on The Common Good, this idea of civility in such a divisive world right now. Do you have any stories from the Winsome Conviction Project of a time that just went well? Like, I think we just need some hope that we can come back to civil communication again.
No. No. Aubrey, business is good. It is very good. No, let me give you one. There was a church where they wanted to put on the side of their building Black Lives Matter. And you can understand that racial tension in our country is at a high in many ways. And one leader said, fine, that's totally fine. But can we put a sign alongside of it that says Blue Lives Matter? Because he was a former police officer. And it got very contentious. And so they brought us in. We worked with both of them individually and had them do a bunch of exercises. We feel like the preparation before you have the conversation is probably the most important part of the entire actual conversation. Mm. And so they did the really hard work. I commend both of them. And then we sat down and had a conversation, and voices were raised. And but there was a real tenderness about, I didn't fully understand why the hurt that has come for your perspective of race. And how quickly I judge critical race theory without knowing what it is, but I judge it anyway. So we felt like there were some breakthroughs. And Aubrey, we can't fix the national dialogue. I mean, that far above our pay grade. But we feel like we can make a difference locally with your church, your community. That's where I feel like change can really happen.
Yeah. And I would say that, you know, Aubrey and I are both pastors, and one of the things we try to highlight on the show a lot is the need for civility, particularly within our churches. But Tim, you're the expert at this. Help people understand why civility is so important now, because some people are like, no, we got to be angry right now. We got to fight. We got to fight for what we believe. Why is civility such an important thing that we have to get back to right now?
Well, Brian, you're absolutely right. The overarching narrative shapes how you actually have a conversation. So if I feel like there's a liberal agenda that is completely taking over the United States and we've got to fight for our lives, then there's no time for civility. There's no time for winsomeness, if that's the narrative. Now, I can imagine some of your listeners saying, but there is a liberal agenda. It is taking over the country. We are in a fight for our lives, and we don't want to minimize that, nor do we want to minimize prophetic communication where you tell the truth, and it can be hard. But we believe in what Peter said. Peter said, when insulted, this is 1 Peter 3:9, when insulted, I do not want you to insult. I want you to give a blessing instead. And that's what we feel like is missing today. As we stick up for biblical truth, for sure, but is there a way to bless? Now, we'd have to unpack what he means by a blessing. A blessing can be simply listening to a person. A blessing can be finding common ground before you move to disagreement. But going back to my book just for a second, I have a whole chapter on communication, because God knows we're in the argument culture. He understands that incivility is tearing apart community. So here's a wild part of the book. If you take a look at the book of Proverbs, the very interesting proverb that says life and death is in the power of the tongue, that phrase is almost identically used by the Buddha. So Buddha says it this way: words have the power to both destroy and heal. When words are both true and kind, they can change the world. Now, what's interesting is there's no way Buddha knew about the Old Testament. It is almost impossible that he would have read this in the ancient book of Proverbs, yet he has the same kind of thinking about the power of words. Same thing is true about Hinduism. Listen to what one Hindu mystic writes. Words can comfort or hurt. It is our pride that makes us use words that hurt. Muhammad himself says that a goal of being Muslim is to speak righteous words. And then I could go on with Confucius. Luther Standing Bear was a Lakota chief who virtually said, silence is the mother of truth, for the silent man is ever to be trusted. So I think what's happened is God has given a world where he knows words are going to be used to destroy each other. The book of Proverbs says words can be like the thrust of a sword that cuts wow. people. He floods everybody with this idea of virtuous communication, non-Christian and Christian, so that everybody's getting this idea, hey, use words to heal each other, not to hurt each other. So I love to say that to my friends that, okay, so what do you make of Buddha coming up with virtually right. the same thing? Like, where, I just love to throw that out to say, okay, let's kick this around. I don't, where, right. how do you, I mean, do you imagine what a Zoom meeting was like between Buddha and an ancient Jewish writer? It's like, hey, you froze, you froze for a second. What did you say about good words? You know what? But this is God at work flooding a fallen world, both Christian and non-Christian, with this, these, and I have a whole section on art. Art being used to disturb us, and then art being used to give us a vision of what human flourishing can look like.
That's good. That's good. That new book is called Eyes to See, Recognizing God's Common Grace in an Unsettled World. Let me encourage you, go pick up that book. If you've got Amazon Prime, it could still get there for Christmas. Like, go ahead and go get that book. You can also learn more about the Winsome Conviction Project at winsomeconviction.com or go to timmuehlhoff.com. You can also follow Tim at Dr. Muehlhoff on Twitter at Dr. Muehlhoff. Tim, 30 seconds. Let me ask you, confidence level of your Wolverines against the Georgia Bulldogs.
Listen, Brian, last year we won two games. We're the only unranked team in the history of the college football playoffs to be in the playoffs. If that is not a sign of God's good grace, then I have no idea. And I am banking on the fact that God shows up dramatically against Georgia.
There you go. We'll be thinking of you during that game that's coming up. We'll be thinking about you. Again, Dr. Tim Muehlhoff, professor at Biola University, also the author of the new book, Eyes to See, Recognizing God's Common Grace in an Unsettled World. Tim, this is a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you. That was a lot of fun, guys. Go blue.
There you go.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.